Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.
Hey guys, welcome back to Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. Thanks for all the wonderful messages and the good reviews, and let's keep this steam train a-chugging. We got someone in Central America was listening to us today, so that's
Nicaragua.
It's very cool.
that's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, Texas was surprising. Nicaragua, really surprising.
Yeah.
Today I have I guess I'd call you an old friend now. Today is the Bronx back again, back together. Kurt Braunohler on the show with me. There you go.
I don't like to talk until I know that I'm supposed to, because otherwise I'll just talk the whole time and you have stuff to do.
I feel like this podcast kind of cuts through the bullshit and we talk to each other the way we talk. You know, out on the streets, out in the green rooms.
I think the first time speaking of old friends, the first time we really hung out was that weird HBO comedy festival
in Las Vegas.
The only time they did the HBO, they tried to like Aspen just ended, which was like where all like the cool, weird comedy would be.
Uh-huh.
And then they tried to make it in Vegas, and it was an utter failure.
Oh, because there was a show going on in LA that was called Garage Comedy that was well-intentioned but intentionally weird. It was like you'd have all these acts that were like very funny, and other ones you're like, that's more performance art. And I think that was definitely going on in New York too.
Yeah, yeah.
And you and Kristen were doing your show in New York, I believe, at the time. Mm-hmm. And so they got a lot of us yahoos. Like, I would go do Garage Comedy, but I was, you know, basically still doing just straight up stand up. And they would have us like, okay, well, what if you did stand up but just walking around? Like, what? And like, not even for a camera. Just like this live feel. And I feel like the Garage Comedy thing, people pitched that idea, and they pitched all this kind of live, non-traditional comedy / theater that would just it just happened in that area outside of Caesar's Palace. And it was
crazy.
It couldn't be more uncomfortable.
Were you even on a stage?
They had this one stage that they'd throw us up occasionally, but we were all sleeping in like random people's hotel rooms. There was no money.
Oh no!
At least for the people involved, semi-involved, like I was.
Yeah,
yeah. I think, you know what though? Maybe I did like, you know, like the LOL stage or something.
I
don't know if they taped our sets or anything, but I remember we went to JFL. 2007,
uh-huh.
Right? It was my first one.
Mm-hmm.
You were there.
Yeah, we did, sketch. We were doing like the sketch show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I was a new face, and you and I were just running wild in the streets, just drinking, like for basically every single night.
I know, and I love now going to JFL and like watching the kids who were like there for the first time, just being like, have fun.
Have fun.
Have fun. I'm going to go to bed now.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Now my thing is I'll have my one JFL night that I'm like, all right, I'll get kind of lit this night. But like all the other nights, it's just like, yeah, I'll have a couple drinks, but it's like, I got to do a show.
Yeah. I got to do a podcast at noon and then four more shows.
Oh yeah. And it's like that period between first time I did 2007, I was just like, fuck I don't give a shit about a hangover to like, you know, a couple like 2011 being like, ooh, this isn't, I don't like being on this stage and being sweaty during this podcast.
Like this sweaty.
Yeah. I feel awful.
In front of all of Los Angeles.
You kind of just like evolve
as you
go as a partier. And,
yeah.
And, you know, like, I think having a kid saves you from that, obviously, but also,
oh yeah,
but also just like having for me, having like a partner that's just like, what are you doing? Don't do that. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Shit.
I went to a premiere last night and I didn't get wasted.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, this is how you do that.
That's it.
This is how you don't have really weird, crazy interactions with people who could give you jobs.
Oh, my God.
You're just like, what's up? Was you? Yo, you run Showtime? Cool, man.
High five. Are you too good for me? Fuck, man. Fuck this guy.
Where are we going next?
Fuck these losers. Slap the hat off his head. That was the director. I went to like an independent movie premiere that Rugger Buns was in, Nick Rutherford, and Blake and a couple other people, and it was, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, it was that thing I realized, like, hey, yeah, there's beer at the Arclight, fun, and I just had one,
yeah,
just one, and then when I got out of the movies, Nick bought me a beer, and I was like, oh, this is cool, and I went, I showed up to the after party, and it was the bar was a mob scene, and I'm like, I'm going to have a soda water and go home. Like, could not have been lamer, but was like, this is great.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, it really is. And I still, I see guys like around our age. I'm like 2 years older than you, but like, I still count that our age still.
Oh yeah, we're the same age.
Same age, pretty much. I will see guys our age that live in our respective neighbor. We pretty much live in the same hood. Uh-huh. And we both have bars near us that are open all day.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Should the need arise.
Exactly.
It's always there.
It's always there.
The temptation. And I've seen guys coming out of the bars and like at 3 PM where it was like, oh.
Oh no.
And you know, it's just a patch them up job. That's all it is. Like the night before was brutal.
Rough.
And they went in there to kind of, all it is putting the pain off.
Yeah. Till later.
Just shove it.
And
till
making
later.
It worse later. I'm so happy that never worked for me.
Oh, really?
It never worked for me to get drunk the next day.
Okay.
Is that what a patch-em-up job is?
Well, that's like, what he's... That's what I've never heard it called.
Mike Burns' expression is a couple patch-em-ups, like beers. That he's like, it got to be really cold, and you got to sip them really, really slow. So it's like, that was his term, patch-em-ups. But there are people who do like get that full-on...
And
it, the, just
they'll
get drunk
feel better.
Again.
They'll feel better after like a few beers, and mm-hmm. I will not. I do not. I feel like... immediately crazy.
Well, I feel crazy, and I feel my heart just start going, just like as if
it's like a heart attack.
Fucko. Well, it's all it's doing is detoxifying yourself.
Yeah.
Like you realize when you've had those times when you've been like horrendously hungover and you're like trying to sleep but you can't because like your system is so haywire.
Yeah.
It's basically your body it's like squeezing you like a sponge, like getting all the shit out that you threw down the gullet. Yeah. So when I see, I mean, I saw a dude, I will not say who it is, but he does well. He's in movies. And I remember I was in a town. There's this one cocktail bar that I like. And I was just in there in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I was in there. It's called The Raven. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I was just having a drink. And this guy, the bartender, was regaling me tales of this dude who would come in while they were shooting a movie there, get shithoused, and just hit on women ridiculously. Like that thing, like when you're like 22 and blackout, like, hey, put your arm around. Hey, are we friends? You know, fuck
where
off.
You're like a Muppet.
And he's like, my wife works here too. And he wouldn't leave my wife alone.
Oh no.
And I had to have him kicked out. And I saw said dude walking up Hillhurst. And I'm like, I know he was leaving the drawing room.
Yeah.
I know he was.
Yeah.
So. Ugh.
Back in the day,
but thank God we didn't just keep driving down that road.
I know. I could have very easily
driven
down that road.
This is the business that allows that sort of thing.
It really does. It encourages it.
Yeah, it's not like we can be insurance salesmen and be like, yeah, I get fucked up every night and hit on everyone. Why not? Here's the policy I've been explaining to you. Oh, I'm rough from last night, brother. You get it, right?
But also like being paid in alcohol, too. The majority of shows you do, you're paid in alcohol. You're like, here, we're going to pay you in alcohol, but don't like do too much of the stuff we pay you.
We pay you, yeah. Or you play clubs and they're like, so guys want something to drink for the show? Guys wanted something this is your cocktailer. He or she will be coming backstage. And
also everybody wants to just hang out. Like you're kind of lame if you don't like get drunk with everybody after the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love how like Greg Proops, like he will drink with the staff and then he won't go anywhere. Like he'll go back to the hotel and hang out like him and his wife. He's like, that's his rule. Like no second location ever.
Oh, ever.
Which I'm just like, good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Someone's like, oh, there's this great place. You'll be in a cab probably 25 minutes. I'm out.
Yep.
I'm done.
I used to do that.
Sure.
It's 50% of the time it's wonderful. And the other 50% of the time, it's a suicide watch
Snake
the next
eyes.
Day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's just like, why did I end up there? That was horrible.
Realizing you have to get, you have to do radio. Someone banging on your hotel room door. Oh God, I got to go on the radio with a rough throat. Okay, speaking of that,
yes.
As both a obviously responsible adults who have always taken care of our bodies and ourselves,
always.
Let's roll the first call, Amanda.
Hey, dipshit. My boss wants to be my friend, like really wants to be my friend. And he's a nice enough guy, whatever, whatever. I like him more than most bosses that I've had, but I don't want to hang out with him on Saturday and I don't want our wives to be friends. How do I handle this? Thanks. Love you. Bye.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And well said. So succinct.
I love how he's like, thanks. Love you. Yep. Bye.
Bye. I got shit to do. It's a cool, it's a cool
when
customer.
When I first
this
heard
dude.
That, I laughed. I was like, "Oh, that's how he sounds off." Like sounds off to his wife. Love you. Bye.
Bye. I feel like this dude is all business. You know, I don't want to be his friend. I don't want to hang out on Saturday. Just so succinct, so well spoken. Thanks for calling in, man. Kurt, what do you think?
That's a tough one. It is so tough.
That is so hard.
I fixed computers for 8 years at a staffing agency where I physically hated every single person I worked with. So I can completely understand not wanting to chill with people that you work with. It's tough, you know, because it's going to get weird. But also, here, this is my thought. If he doesn't hang out with him,
right?
If it's a continued invitation and he always just finds a way to be like, oh, I can't because of this thing. He always gives a reason. At a certain point, he'll get the message, but he'll still think he's really cool.
Yeah.
Because he's just still, you're not confirming nor denying anything.
That's true.
And it's a lame way to, it's not lame, it's work. That guy shouldn't be asking for you to hang out with him.
This guy is putting him in a bad position, and it kind of falls, it's basically the least offensive version of
sexual harassment.
Yeah, unwanted attention. Unwanted attention in the workplace, where it's just like, dude, no. And I mean, this is full on Michael Scott from The Office right here.
Yeah.
So
that's what I pictured.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's that thing where that is such a dangerous personality, where we've all known those people who they get way friendly with you and feel real comfortable saying anything. But if you ever got real with them,
yes,
they would be shattered. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's the same thing with his boss, where if you just said, I mean, I don't know, do you think this is appropriate, us hanging out? He'd be like,
right,
the fuck do you mean, man? What do you think? I'm being inappropriate? Is that what you're saying? Like, oh God, now I've broken your heart.
Yeah.
I
know. That's why I think honesty is not the right policy in this situation.
Yeah.
It's just deflect and evade.
Yes.
And it's going to be a constant, like, bubbling it, because otherwise he could fire you.
Yeah. God damn, it's so fucking tough. And it's like, his boss must be just so annoying. I mean, the guy said, like, I don't want my wife being friends with him.
Also, he said he's better than most bosses, but he doesn't want to be pals. Like, he doesn't want to have requirements to hang out with him.
Yeah,
that's completely understandable.
Completely understandable, but. I keep thinking, is there a way he can say it to him just so he doesn't have to keep getting hammered by invitations?
Would this be like a point to kind of get onto HR? Question mark? Being like, hey, it's not like it's a big, big issue, but I just have these boundaries.
It's going to come out.
And so, yeah, it is.
It'll come out. This is a wild pitch, but maybe he could have a thing where he was just like, look, I've had bad experiences hanging out with people I work with. And Alan, I like you. And I think in another world we could be like awesome friends, but it's just, I have PTSD, call it what you will. But I had a guy I worked with, two guys, in fact, one was my supervisor. Another was a guy who, we shared a desk, and, we all used to go fishing. It was Glenn and Pete, and Glenn killed Pete in front of me while we were fishing.
Wait.
I just can't. Look, I'm not saying go that far.
Really plugged into that
story. Go that far, but just something that just, she's like, oh, fuck. So it's not about him at all. It's not about the boss at all. You saw a murder?
See, I... I think that's like a route to get fired.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right. I think I.
Oh man, I was like engaged. I was fully engaged in that.
Kurt's original solution, I think is the best. Look, just keep making up excuses until he possibly
gets the hint,
or you know, moves on to someone else. You know, I used to have one of my stupid earliest bits about, remember back when you just write shit and you're just like, well, I don't know if this is good or not, I'm just going to try it.
Oh, I still do that.
Who am I kidding? So do I. But a way to get a girl to break up with you is to save up a fart as long as you can. And then when you're around her, like, let it out, but then grab your ass and scream and fall down and start crying. Like, it hurt.
Is this an idea from a long time ago?
Oh, this is like 18 years old.
Okay.
And like,
oh, this
and
is an 18-year-old
because
Matt.
No, and just when she's like, are you okay? Just keep swatting her away. Like, no, it hurts so much. Like, there's no way a woman would ever stay with a man who ever did that. No matter how much she cared for him. It's just so stupid. So stupid. But it's like...
So he could do that. He could do that to the boss.
If you could do
that's
something...
That's actually a great
just
idea.
Just really be really, like, embarrassing.
Yeah.
And just make yourself as lame as possible at the workplace. It's a huge sacrifice. But, of course, both my solutions are unfeasible and will not work and are stupid. Go with Kurt's solution.
Deflect and evade.
Yes.
With correct. A smile on your face.
And so good luck to you, man.
Hey, Matt, Brad, just looking for some advice on changing my new son. He's about a month old and, you know, trying to keep his feet out of the shit. It's a real trouble, a real problem for me over here. So what do you got there as advice for changing a child? Let me know. Thanks.
All right.
Take it, Kurt.
All right, here you go. This is the way I do it. Is you grab one ankle and then you kind of... You can lift pretty hard on the ankle. The ankle's not going to, like, break off or anything like that.
Cool.
So then you keep the other leg out of the shit by kind of keeping both... By just one hard ankle up keeps it out of the shit. Also, if that doesn't work, if it's a really big shit, you can use the forearm method, which is you place the forearm like a bar for so that their kind of knees are wrapped around that forearm, and you kind of push that up near their chest. And then you, like, can use your other hand to, like, clean off. Maybe you can use... No, it's the other hand is cleaning off.
Okay.
But also, another trick, too, is to use the diaper to get as much shit off of them before you have to, like, go to wipes. That's, I find, a nice technique. So use that diaper. It's already covered in shit, but there's some parts that aren't covered in shit, and use that to get as much shit off as you can, then go to your wipes.
Perfect.
And I think that's pretty much the only way to do it.
Yeah, no.
I don't know how he's doing it.
Also completely applicable to adults.
Yeah.
Just
like,
yeah.
If you're struggling, it's like a squatty potty, yeah, but with your arm, right?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
That's like where I went. I'm like, oh, he's in the squatty potty position.
So you're talking about cleaning yourself. I thought when you said that, like, cleaning up your passed out friend shit, who just
fell,
lift up the friend's legs, get his legs.
Good.
Why
that's
would you
good.
Clean up their shit?
No, you would
let them sit in it. They should learn.
The
you should rub their face in it. Why do you do this?
Bad.
Bad boy. Bad boy.
Yeah. But perfect answer. Perfect answer. Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Strongberry, big balls. Look, it's Brad again. This kid's a month old. He's not sleeping through the night. He's getting like 2 hours at a time. You know, it's really, really making it rough for me to get up for work. What do you think? What do you think about getting this kid to sleep more than
two hours
a night? I don't know. Let me know. Thanks.
Were these right next to each other?
Yeah,
no.
This is the same guy.
But I mean, like, were they right next to each other? Or was it like, a few months later that this guy called back with this question?
No, it was one, and then like later on came the other.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was great. That was like the same guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say, first off, you sound like you have a very young baby.
Yeah.
If they're only sleeping 2 hours. By the time I give you this information, the baby's already sleeping longer. But here's a few tips, and I'm just going to go real. I'm going real info here.
Please, that's what we do.
Is it?
Yeah, we try.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just without pretense.
Okay. So if the baby's breastfeeding at around 2 months or 3 months, you should transfer the baby into its own room because the baby can smell the breast milk and will wake up more often. And then get it down. And then essentially, you want to get down to one feeding. So you put the baby down around 7, you do one feeding around midnight, and then the baby gets up around 7. And you just enforce that until like 3 or 4 months where you try and let the baby. It also depends on how big and fat the baby is. If you have a big fat baby, that baby can sleep through the night. The only reason they're getting up is because they need to put on weight. That's the only reason you should not do any of the things I'm saying. If you have an underweight baby, then that baby should be fed as much as it wants to be fed.
Good to know.
Yeah. But then we did this one thing where it's like, this is, expensive, but if you only do it one night, it's kind of worth it. Or you can even ask like relatives if they'll like pay for one night of a night nurse.
Yeah.
Because if it's a good night nurse, they'll like, they can tell you all like the sleep training things to do. So it's expensive. It's like $200, but like they stay with the baby. They make sure everything's okay. They make sure if it's crying that it's not like an actual hunger cry and that it's still just like it's used to getting food, so that it's just like doing it for its used to getting food. And then if it's actually like hungry, then they bring the baby to you and you feed the baby and then the baby goes back down. But we did that once and then our baby was sleeping through the night.
Cool.
At like 3 months old. So, and it was like only $200. I would pay.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, it's that thing of just like, you know, that's what money's for. It's like peace of mind and you know, feeling like rested and healthy.
Yeah, and then we had a grandma paid for it, you know?
Oh, that's great.
So it's just like, be like, grandma, grandpa, could you just do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody, chip in $10.
Yeah.
One night with a night nurse will make your life different.
But I think like one night with the kids' grandparents and they're looking at you and your eyes just look brutally bloodshot, you know, and you're obviously wearing the same clothes from 2 days ago. Like, oh, we want Howard. Let's get them a night nurse.
And also it just gets better. You're also in the beginning. This is going to stop and you're just going to have a great kid.
That's awesome.
So don't worry.
Nice.
Hey, what's up, Matt? So I have a question. I started driving a truck about a year ago, and I noticed like 3 months into driving the truck professionally, 10, 12 hours a day, that my ass crack smells terrible. Like I wash, I use the Gold Bond, and I don't want to go to the doctor and be like, hey, I've got swamp ass, what do I do about it? So any advice, like it definitely is uncomfortable and like, it, you know, occasionally it'll itch. It's kind of gross. But anyway, yeah. Talk to you soon. Love the show, man. Bye.
Oh.
The big question is, are you wearing rubber pants?
That's number one.
Non-breathable pants is your number one problem.
Is this like one of these ball player things where he's been getting some big payments, some good runs, some good scores, and like, you know, are they baseball players and they're like World Series, after they win they don't change their underwear like the entire run?
Really?
It's a superstition thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Baseball players are so superstitious. Oh, they'll do stuff like that.
Because it's all zen. Like the thing can change in the moment. It's a lot of waiting. So they're just like, what can I do when I'm not doing anything and I'm just out in left field? Oh, I can just wear the same underwear.
I can smell bad?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I can have festering, horrendous nuts. So
I had a college boyfriend who played baseball and did that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even winning the World Series.
I know. It was like a community college, too. Nice. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, if I change or wash my balls, the hedgehogs could lose.
The hedgehogs.
No, that was like the reassurance would be, hey, babe, you know, after the games, I wash for you, you know. And I'm like, I don't really care. These are gross.
Yeah,
like,
please burn these. They're still in the house. And that was the thing I was thinking. It's like, speaking of proximity and smells, it's just like, so is he just driving? And he's like, oh, my butt crack smells. Like, he's smelling it from up here to down.
Yeah, that's what I also wonder. Or is it when he takes his pants off, he's like, oh, I smell very bad.
Right, yes.
But I honestly do think it's about breathability.
Yes. I think
and
it is.
If it's and if you have le- if it's I doubt it's leather seats, but if it's like plastic seats or something like that that's not breathable, maybe he sits on a pillow.
Yeah.
Like a breathable pillow.
Or like those beaded ones that the cab drivers always were on. There's a little bit of ventilation there.
Yeah, maybe wear sweatpants or something
for the buttocks.
Got a lot of air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
shorts, even.
I think it's, see, this guy sounds like a raw-boned man, you know, like a like all muscle and bone. You know, like those guys that are kind of just like lean and all kind of sinew, like
you
a rangy fellow.
Oh, interesting.
That's the feeling I get.
Did you get
from
that feeling from his voice?
Yes. And so I think he might wear pants that fit him, and if he's very skinny, they might be very tight.
Interesting.
So what I'm thinking is maybe like let out the pants a little bit. I think you nailed it. I think breathability is the key for this man's butt crack.
Yep, I think so. I mean, I think it's a secret to every butt crack. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
What are you using on the baby to keep the
Smell down?
Yeah.
There's no smell. I mean, like, other than when she shits. Like, the baby doesn't really sweat. There's no, like, smell to the sweat.
Oh,
that doesn't
no,
happen
like,
until puberty.
You put in there or anything?
No.
I'm just thinking, because it's like, usually the more like, you know, animal-based products, the grosser your farts and shits are. So just like, I'm picturing Olive eating. She had a T-bone last night and a loaded baked potato. Just her farts are really awful.
Yeah, I don't think... Oh, her farts do smell. Yeah. She eats a lot of sausage.
Okay.
Yeah. And hot dogs. Kids love hot dogs.
Yeah, they do love hot dogs.
And chicken McNuggets and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't. It's like it's been difficult to get them to eat. And cheese. So it's just like there's...
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of Putin.
They definitely smell bad.
That's a lot of Putin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, with this guy, it's not that he's just sitting there farting, probably. It's just, I think he's talking about sweat.
Would this be, one of the appropriate times to, freeball it? Or do you think underwear is really necessary?
Well, he said he used Gold Bond, so that's a good step.
Yeah.
Because that's, when I was a waiter, just a lifesaver for, running around and, just getting sweaty in the crotch.
Oh, it's beautiful. That's also just, so pleasant.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It really is very
pleasant. It's really marvelous.
Did you know that they found out? So this was crazy. You know that woman sued the Johnson's baby powder because she got cervical cancer from it.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, talcum powder is supposed to be bad for you. You're supposed to use, cornstarch.
Well, that's what Gold Bond is.
Yeah, because
is it? It's not talcum powder?
Yeah.
So don't use talcum powder. And I found out it's not that the talc itself is a carcinogen, but talc sits next to asbestos in the rock. And so there's asbestos powder in there as well.
That's no good.
And that's why she won $40 million from Johnson's baby powder.
You know, I just had the weirdest thought. I was thinking, because there's someone that's just oh, yeah, I would get cervical cancer for that. It's like, what?
What?
That's insane.
For $40 million, totally.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, I mean, it just made me think of this time where I was waiting in line for a movie when I lived in Chicago, and it was everything just frozen over, but was starting to thaw, and so it wasn't snowing or anything, but there were just, it's a thing where just chunks of ice would just fall off buildings. And this chunk fell off, and it landed next to the line, and it was as big as me. Gunk.
That would freak me out.
A chunk of ice, and it hit the ground, and it didn't even break in half. So it was that heavy, and it went boom. And this dude behind me, I'll never forget, he went, "Oh man, I wish that would have landed on me. I sue the fuck out of this place." Did you just say you wish that would land on you? Suddenly, horrifically crippled.
Man, I wish that landed on me, and then I also knew a very good lawyer. And not like a cut-rate lawyer that I probably would get, and who maybe wouldn't get me any money, and then I would just be crippled for the rest of my life.
Sure.
But maybe dead.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just thought of someone being 40 million. I'd have cancer. Insane. Yeah. Okay, but yes, I think it's breathability. I think it's, as the Ghetto Boys once famously rapped, you got to let your nuts hang. just get some baggier pants, some bigger underwears, stuff your crack with some talcum, or excuse me, no, some, no. Some
gold bombs.
Gold
Keep
bond,
using that gold bomb.
Or cornstarch and or cornstarch. And go from there. And feel free to call us back in and let us know how your butt's doing, man.
Yeah.
I love when people call back in. We've had a couple that I'm holding in the wings.
Yeah. And we've had a couple truckers. So shout out to the truckers.
Oh, yeah.
Calling
we really
in,
have
listening
truckers.
To us as they're headed across this great and magical land. But Kurt, what do you have coming up? Any Any shameless plugs? Any
Yeah, I'll be. Is this coming out soonish?
What's the haps?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll be in at the Crocodile in Seattle on February 10th, and also at the Numerica Performing Arts Center in Wauwatosa, Washington, the night before the 9th, February.
Nice.
See you then. Yeah.
That's great.
You have a podcast, right?
I have many, but they're all not happening right now, but I have a new one coming up that I can't talk about yet.
Oh, okay.
But it'll be soon. It'll be very, very soon.
Is that the one about the murders? I know nothing about
it. Is it a true crime podcast? History podcast? ASMR? Do I like get to watch you fuck with slime?
Yeah, yeah. We fuck with slime. It's called Fuck with Slime.
Ew. That would get a lot of hits by the name alone.
Yeah.
So if you want to call in, the number is 323-763-0228. Our Patreon, Patty, is at Advice From A Dipshit. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. Social media is at Advice From A Dipshit on Facebook, at Dipshit Advice on Twitter. A theme song is by Ben Wise. You can catch me also in near us. Well, basically in the same area. I'm going to be at the Tacoma Comedy Club January 31st, February 1st, and then I'll be in the Spokane Comedy Club February 2nd. So that'll be my my wild two-city tour of Washington.
I know. I'm doing a two-city tour of Washington as well.
I love it.
One of them is Wauwatosa.
So rad. So it's so fun to do like a little random town outside of the bigger town.
I love
to
it.
To get out there. So thanks again for coming, man.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for all the insight and expertise. You weren't very dipshitty, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You're dead.
No, I really needed to. I need to give it true.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, I think this podcast would really suck. I was thinking about this the other day. If I actually gave quote unquote dipshit advice.
Yeah.
It's like smelly ass, wipe it on someone's face, bruh. All right. Next call. Yeah, but I like that we got into a bit of our dipshit history.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll have to have you back on again and think of specific times.
I'm ready. When we
Thanks, Kurt.
Bye.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.